You are listening to The Mahogany Says Show with hosts Mahogany Silverain and Mikkel Wilson on Blog Talk Radio. War is coming. Six kingdoms struggle for control of the world while wrestling with their demons within. Alliances are formed and lovers betrayed while leaders plot and scheme. It is a world in which fear germinates like a seed in the ground. But seeds bear fruit, and when the fruit of fear bursts from the ground, everything will change. Six kingdoms. When it's done, only one will survive to tell the tale. Fractured Glory, part of the Rise of the Dread series on Amazon by Lauren Hart and Y.D. Lamar, the prequel to Rise of the Dread series. Get your copy on Amazon. Pre-orders are available today. Power, money, and blood. Christos Lascaris didn't choose his life. It was his birthright. He has a reputation for being ruthless, cunning, and unyielding in his pursuit of power. He was relentless in his fight to defeat his enemies. No one was safe from his wrath. Christos was now in complete control of his empire. However, one thing Christos could not control was the woman he loved, Aaliyah Hughes. The one person who had the power to break his heart, and she did, by taking something from him that no amount of power or money could ever replace. Can Christos and Aaliyah mend what's broken in order to be together? Find out in Love and Happiness, the fourth and final book of the Love series by USA Today bestselling author Sage Young. Available on Amazon in Kindle and paperback. Get your copy today. You are listening to The Mahogany Says Show with hosts Mahogany Silverain and Mikkel Wilson on Blog Talk Radio.
Wonder Twin Powers activate!
Hello,
that's
welcome
so
everyone.
Awesome.
Right? To The Mahogany Says Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silverain.
And I'm Mikkel Wilson.
Awesome. And we are in the room. The Wonder Twins.
Hello, everyone.
Yes.
It's okay.
Okay. So we have an exciting show tonight, which, you know, one caller can come in. If they answer correctly the question, they can win. Well, why don't you tell them what they can win, Mikkel?
A wonderful Android tablet running the newest operating system from Android.
Nice. See? Awesome. Now, do you want to go ahead and ask the question, and they can be thinking about it as we're reading, or do you want to wait for
No. We're going to call in later, because that way they can't look for it in the book. Ha-ha. There's some sneaky people out there, yeah.
Okay. So that means we probably again the last 20 minutes of the show. If you'd like to
have
a call in, the number is 563-999-3523, and you press number 1, and that lets us know you have the answers to the question. Okay. Mikkel, why don't you tell us a little bit? Oh, look at you. Tell us a little bit about this book.
Okay. This book is a combination of some of my favorite vampire stories with a lot of me thrown in there. So I was like, okay, vampires, what has not been done? So what has not been done is, have you ever heard of a vampire coming of age story where they are now trying to take over the throne? No, you haven't. So I was like, this will be something cool. So I wanted to do something different, and I also wanted it to be y'all fantasy, so, you know, young adults can enjoy it, but adults can enjoy it, and it's fantasy, and it's fast-paced, and it's, there's twists, there's turns, you don't know what side is on who, it's just a lot of different stuff that I enjoy doing.
Okay, so is there romance in this book?
Yes, there is romance in this story.
Awesome. But it's like PG.
At first, it was romance. No, it wasn't really romance at first. It was more of a stalker, please get away from me. And it grew into romance. And it grew into romance.
Oh, wow. So she like falls in love with a stalker. Yeah, that's not romance.
Well, he wasn't a stalker. He was just different. I mean, would you call Beast from Beauty and the Beast a stalker, even though he locked the girl up? I mean, come on. Everybody loves Beast, like, even though you locked him into the castle and told him he had to stay, you know. And everybody's like, it's such a good love story.
He was his captive, you know, so.
Like, that doesn't really sound like a love story, you know.
Right,
okay.
True. Okay. All right.
If anybody else did what Beast did, they'd be a deal right now, you know,
right?
10 to 20.
Exactly. Locking this woman up. Mm-hmm. Instead, if she don't come out, she's gonna starve.
Starve! You know, that was funny. One of my favorite parts of the movie.
Of course. Okay. So, you're going to start with the prologue.
Yes, I am. So, I offered a book funnel of the book, so anybody that's listening that did not get a chance to read the book, there is a book funnel of the book that's free. You just sign up with your email and you can be reading along with us, or you can read and try to find the answer to the question that you don't know the answer to. Ha-ha.
That you don't know the question.
Exactly.
You haven't asked the question yet.
And if I haven't asked the question, do you know that you know the answer? It could be simple. It could be hard. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I will. You don't
you're
know?
You're
the one
that's
winning.
Everything. No, I'm just kidding. I
did
know.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start with the prologue. As the leader of their kingdom lay dying after fighting with the goddess Glory, his now frail body went into convulsions as he looked over to his son and removed his ring, handing it to his most trusted friend, Robert, who then handed it to his son, Christian. As Christian walked toward his father smiled, seeing his son he had raised for what he had knew was his last time. His mother had died long ago, but he had raised the prince in combat and in stealth, the perfect heir to the blood throne. He would make a fine king. As his breathing became more labored, the spell finally succeeded in turning the king to dust. As Christian wiped his eyes from tears, he looked to the council, who had assembled themselves around the king. I, Christian, will sit upon the throne as my father before me, but first I must find my queen. Chapter 1. It's all you, Mahogany.
2 months later, in New York City, the cold air whistled through the building, and with the air came an unnatural mist, one that covered the Hudson River. A dragon unmarked vessel appeared seemingly from nowhere and moved toward the shore. Inside this old vessel was an old wooden box carrying a precious cargo, something that would change the destiny of this city forever. Lewis was just like any other teenage girl, albeit an exceptional one. She was very athletic, winning several awards in track and field and lacrosse. Her strength was nearly unmatched in every sport she played. She was also very beautiful. Her lightly tanned skin and brown, kinky hair with blonde highlights left many boys drooling. And when she leveled her green eyes on them, she left them speechless. This particular day, she could be found hanging out on the subway with her best friend, Mackenzie, heading toward a large pepperoni pizza. They stood on the subway talking like so many other teenage girls about the guys they liked and how school was going. Lilith had a small crush on one of the football players, but she hadn't worked up the courage to come right out and tell him. Well, girl, are you ever going to tell him? It's not like most of the guys have the guts to come and ask us, Mackenzie asked while aggressively chewing her gum. I would, but he's so dumb. It's not like I haven't shown him that I'm attracted to him. I'm so not the girly type, and for me to be like, hey, you look good in that uniform, was flirting. Hello? Phyllis said, annoyed. maybe I will send him a text message. Mackenzie was giggling as she pulled out her trusty phone. You better not, Rose squealed, struggling to get the phone away from her. They fell into fits of giggles and decided to take a selfie with the phone instead of grappling over it. As they struck a pose, the train stopped, and a peculiar man stepped on. His attire, rustic and out of place, he stood over 6 feet tall, and his long, curly hair hung down his back. When Rose looked at him, she was hit with a strange case of deja vu, as if she had seen him before. Transfixed, she lost track of the conversation with her friends, who called up Lilith and shook her. Girl, hello, Eartha Lilith. What in the world are you staring at? Mackenzie asked, one hand on her hip and one pushing her cute glasses up on her nose before tucking her dirty blonde hair behind her ear. That guy over there with the strange clothes. Have we seen him before? Heck no, Mackenzie shuddered and covered her mouth as she let out a small giggle and hoped the man didn't hear them.
Pier 146, the conductor said over the intercom, signaling their stop. As the train slowed to a stop, the doors opened and the new passengers boarded as Lilith and Mackenzie exited the train. Only a couple of blocks and that yet we...
I thought that I was supposed to read the girl.
You were! I'm sorry, I got lost.
Okay.
Our first read together is not going well, okay.
Right. It's fine. Only a couple of blocks and that yummy pizza will be in my belly, Lilith was saying while rubbing her stomach. She felt like someone was watching her and thought she saw the man from the subway in her peripheral vision. She stopped and turned her head quickly, looking over her shoulder, but the peculiar-looking man wasn't there. The girls continued on, but as they walked up the long corridor, a feeling of deja vu swept over them. They kept talking, but a small hint of fear caused their steps to speed up, the feeling building until it became nearly overwhelming. Their breathing increased and their heart rate soared when at last they could see the opening of the subway with daylight shining down the steps. Both breathed a sigh of relief as they moved arm in arm toward the stairs. They were laughing at their own silliness when a man appeared seemingly out of nowhere. He had his face turned down, his hair covering it, and then he slowly lifted his head. The girls gasped as they got a look at his eyes. They were green as emeralds.
Hello, ladies, he said in what sounded like a broken old-world English accent as he bowed to them, one hand behind his back. I have come to offer you a gift.
Mackenzie's hand.
I know, I know.
Do you, though?
Yes.
Mackenzie's hand slowly slid into her pink purse and put a strong grip on her emergency pepper spray. Lilith, listen to me. This guy's crazy. We're going to have to fight to get away, she whispered. Lilith nodded in agreement, and she took a defensive stance next to Mackenzie. Look, we're not afraid of you. Go back to wherever you came from and keep your gift, Mackenzie yelled. As the man continued his slow but deliberate walk toward them, he continued talking.
This gift is unlike anything this earth could offer. It's eternal life. I have lived in my realm for many years, dear maidens. My father was king of Taldor. He paused, seeming to gather his thoughts before continuing. Now I must take the throne, and I'm in need of a queen. You are so beautiful, he said with a lovesick look on his face as he gazed at Mackenzie. Your beauty overwhelms me, and I must have you. I swear to you, we are destined to be together, and you, sweet, beautiful one, are to rule at my side. Don't fret, though, he finished, turning toward Lilith. You will, of course, not be left out, seeing as you are an acquaintance of my bride-to-be. You shall be a perfect addition to the court.
Before the girls could even begin to process his words, he gently took Mackenzie's hand in his and flew to the highest point of the subway ceiling. Hovering high above Lilith, his hands moved to Mackenzie's waist and around her as he wrapped her in his arms. Fear struck Mackenzie's heart, and words struggled to escape her lips when he whispered,
"This will only hurt for a second."
Before biting into her neck. The iron smell of blood filled the air as it ran down her shoulder and dripped to the floor in front of Lilith. He licked his lips and struck once more, inserting his fangs into the gaping holes in her neck, while Mackenzie was fighting frantically to get away from him and stay conscious. She somehow managed to hold on to her pepper spray, and she brought it up, spraying him in the eyes, which turned out to be no more than a minor annoyance to this creature.
Funny, young one. You still think I'm like you, a human. Now, what if it had worked and I had dropped your body from this height onto the concrete floor? He began laughing.
As Mackenzie's blood loss. Sorry, go ahead.
Us reading together is awesome.
I know, right?
Yes.
As Mackenzie's blood loss got the best of her and she slowly drifted off, Lilith was frozen with fear. This creature had just killed her best friend. She screamed in her head, but her mouth wouldn't work. After what felt like an eternity, her body started to get the message, and her feet and mouth finally obeyed her brain. She took off in a dash toward the opening of the subway, screaming at the top of her lungs for help. Just when she thought she might make it, a hand covered her mouth and halted her progress.
No, 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 young one. We can't bring any unwanted visitors to us now, can we? He cooed just before his teeth pierced her neck.
Her body went limp as the warm blood flowed out of her neck. She felt nauseous, then completely faint, and her green eyes became heavy as she slowly lost consciousness. Sometime later, Lilith was awakened by a bump in the road. She's in a large vehicle, and she could hear by the roaring of the tires that they weren't driving very fast. She felt around in the gloom, awakening Mackenzie. Are you awake? Lilith asked her friend stirred. They were still alive, but she felt so terribly weak. It was as if her entire body was being held down by weight. I think so, Mackenzie groaned as she sat up. They got unsteadily to their knees and felt around to find a wooden box and a lot of cardboard boxes filled with useless items. The van tossed them around as they went over a bump in the road, but they managed to stay upright and continue their search. What in the heck was he? Mackenzie asked frantically. Vampires aren't real, are they, Liz? I mean, he did bite us, so maybe we are dreaming? That's exactly what he was. We have to escape him. There's no telling what he really has planned for us. Liz responded while she frantically searched for anything that could use as a weapon against the terrible monster who had trapped them in this vehicle. They tried for a few minutes, but their weakness slowed them down, and they needed to rest. Being so drained, they once again dozed off. Minutes later, a bump in the road caused Lilith to wake up. Still quite groggy, she felt around until she touched the van's wall and found the cargo light. Clicking it on, she looked around, taking in her surroundings, and finding nothing to help them, a feeling of desolation came over her. She nudged Mackenzie awake as seemingly out of nowhere. The box that was in the back of the van opened. The man sat up while shaking out his hair and stretching with a loud yawn before climbing out of the box.
Hello, ladies. It was so rude of me not to introduce myself to you. I am Christian of the Vampires from Tal'Dor. I am from the elite branch of vampires, and you both have been gifted with my powers, he explained. Then to Lilith, he continued, you will always be a protector of us. And as my soon-to-be bride's best friend, you will sit at court with us, and you shall live well. Turning to Mackenzie and looking into her eyes, he said, and you, my beautiful soon-to-be queen, shall rule at my side. He explained about his father while fighting his human-like emotions and forces himself to remain composed, even though he fought back tears, when he showed them the ring that his father had worn. This ring had great significance in their world, as it was only to be worn by the leader of Tal'Dor, the elite. They were called, and the ring showed his elite status as the heir to the throne.
Lilith's anger grew, and she drew her hand back to slap him as she screamed, I'm no slave, you pompous jerk! She swung hard at his face, which he quickly dodged as Mackenzie jumped on top of him, attempting to help subdue him. The girls were thrown back easily with one hand as he began to laugh.
You are both far too weak to harm me. You're still human, but soon you won't be. The change will happen very soon, and you'll need to feed. I shall teach you of your new heritage and the dangers of being a vampire. People on this plane always fear what they don't understand. I will teach you to survive and how to feed. Do you understand? Christian asked.
I'm not going to be eating people. Yuck! Mackenzie yelled, showing her disdain for the very thought of drinking blood, while Lilith nodded in total agreement.
Then both of you will die, in a horrible way. Your body craving plasma until you turn to dust. It's up to you. Christian gave a shrug of his shoulder before turning to Mackenzie. Where we are going, humans serve us, so be prepared to be treated as a god, my queen.
And what about me? An annoyed Lilith inquired, crossing her arms.
You will learn your place, that I can promise you. You are one of us, and that should be good enough for you, Christian said with a sly smile.
Their outburst took a lot out of them, and Mackenzie and Lilith started growing weaker and weaker until they laid against each other, trying not to fall asleep.
Christian smiled as he said, We must stop soon so we can feed. Time seemed to nearly stop, and the minutes felt like hours when finally the van stopped. We are here, and the night calls to us. Can you not hear it?
At this point, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a short break for a commercial, and we'll be back right after this.
Soon.
Wonder Twin Powers activate!
I'm Dream Castle, brilliant and bad. I was my family's fixer. I was the queen of negotiating. I had never met a situation I couldn't talk us out of until my brother crossed the wrong family and they would accept only one payment for that debt, me. For 30 days, I was supposed to give myself to a man so brutal, they called him Demon. I had to follow his rules and demands and be available only to him. When I met him, he had nightmares in his cold green eyes. Except those eyes seemed to thaw a little each time he looked at me. There was so much more to the enigma called Demon, so many things that made him my Demon. Suddenly, the only thing I was worried about losing in 30 days was my heart. Demon's Dream, An Unexpected Love by L. Cason, now available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
Okay, and we are back. Continuing to read Ascension to the Blood Throne by our favorite author here, Mikhail Wilson. Okay, so let's get back to reading Chapter 1 of Ascension to the Blood Throne.
Let's go!
The girls slowly raised their heads as their hearts nearly exploded from their chests. They became even weaker as the seconds passed. Their bodies started going into convulsions, and their canine teeth grew longer. Their mouths were parched, their lips cracking, and their stomachs cramped and rumbled as a thirst unlike anything they had ever felt consumed them. They fought with all they could to contain themselves, to hold on to their sanity, but this thirst was too much. Christian watched the girls suffer, their bodies curling into the fetal position from the pain. After about 30 minutes, he decided it was time. His hunger was controlled. He had lived with this thirst his entire life, and the newly turned girls would go mad if they didn't feed soon. Figuring he had them right where he wanted them, he smiled as he took flight into the skies. Mackenzie, he's gone, but I don't know how much time we have. We have to get out of here now. This is our chance, Lilith pleaded. I'm so weak. And so thirsty, Mackenzie cried through trembling lips. I know, but if we don't fight this, we will be just like him. Do you want that? I want to eat, Mackenzie screamed, her eyes slowly turning red as fangs extended from her mouth. Lilith grabbed Mackenzie and began shaking her. I want it too, but we have to hold on to what makes us who we are, she insisted, trying to get through to her friend. As it turned out, they didn't have time to escape. Christian returned very quickly, landing smoothly while holding a middle-aged woman who looked like she was just coming to. She began whimpering as she struggled to break the hold he had on her. She was average height and weight, wearing turquoise scrubs with a black leather jacket. Her eyes were wide with terror and shock, her red hair standing out in sharp contrast to her pale face.
She's all yours, girls. Try to save something for me.
With that, he tossed the terrified woman into the van with the girl and closed the door. The woman screamed and cried out in fear as she smacked the door of the van, trying to get out. She must have been bleeding because the aroma of blood filled the cabin, causing the girl's senses to come to life. Can you help me, please? She pleaded with the girls, but they both just stared as their vampiric instincts took over and their bodies began to shake and sweat profusely as their craving took over. He gave me to you, didn't he? Please, please, don't hurt me, the woman cried. I have money. Anything you want, take it. It's okay, miss. We won't let anything harm you. We were kidnapped just like you. We all need to stick together, Mackenzie said as she pulled the lady close to her. The sobbing woman laid her head on Mackenzie's chest. Mackenzie's smile soon changed, as did her appearance. Her eyes turned red as coals of fire as her mouth opened, revealing fangs. Mackenzie watched the veins in the woman's neck move with every breath she took. The smell of blood and the sound of the woman's heartbeat finally overtook her. She gripped the woman tightly, and when she could no longer fight her new nature, Mackenzie grabbed the woman by her hair and sank her fangs into her neck. The woman gasped for air, and her body shook. As the blood filled Mackenzie's mouth and slid down her throat, she came back to herself. Her real consciousness had once again returned, and she was disgusted with herself and what she had done. Angrily throwing the woman down as she screamed, she sank to the floor of the van, wrapping her arms around her knees and sobbing while rocking back and forth. She was a monster. She couldn't believe the terror as she had become. Lilith's change seemed very different. Her body gave off a strange aura, and her disposition changed dramatically as a sinister smile crept across her once innocent face. No longer did her eyes give off fear. Instead, they were full of confidence. The woman was barely breathing, but still alive. She gasped and struggled to breathe. Blood poured from the two incisions in her neck. Please, please, don't kill me, the woman begged as she attempted to pull herself up to Lilith's pants. Lilith grinned unpleasantly. Hey, you wrote this. As she helped the woman to her feet, breaking the woman's nose, which spewed blood, before sinking her teeth into the woman's neck. As her strength began to return, she raised her head and grabbed the woman by the neck, squeezing as hard as she could until she heard a blood-curdling pop. The grin across her face grew even bigger as she sank her fangs into the woman's neck again, draining her lifeless body of its blood. That's enough, Mackenzie screamed at Lilith, who had seemingly gone mad. Lilith's green eyes changed to red as she began laughing. So, this is the power I now possess. Christian stood outside the van with his driver, Kale, and he could now sense that something wasn't right. He flung open the door and was met by the dead body of the woman.
You killed her? She was to be one of us, Christian stated flatly.
One of us? She was not worthy. Now get me another vessel. I thirst, Lilith commanded with a sinister laugh.
Christian threw his head back and laughed incredulously. You speak to me as though I obey you, servant. You are learning your place, even if it means I must teach you.
Then please teach me, O master, Lilith cried, her voice dripping with sarcasm. Christian darted toward her, and she slipped under him, grabbing him by the throat as she came back up. This is the power of an elite. It would seem my power as far as to pass yours. Is this normal for you, Prince? Humble by a woman? Lilith laughed mockingly. Christian broke her grip with one hand, and with all his might, he punched her square in the face.
There is much to learn, and if you quiet down, I shall teach you. It's impossible for one such as you to possess the type of power you claim, he said, looking at her skin.
Does my color offend you? This is what you meant by my place, is it? Does my caramel skin offend you, Prince Christian? Lilith sneered. Then let us just see how skin color makes power. She charged at him full speed, then wrapped both of her arms around him, embracing him in a strong bear hug.
You will learn your place right now. Unhand me now, Kristen screamed.
You shall never be forced to look upon my skin again, my prince. I swear it. Liv loosened her grip and Christian grabbed his throat, attempting to catch his breath, but as quick as he tried, she punched him in the gut. Christian's eyes nearly buckled, and Liv tried to strike him in the eyes with her newly found claws. He put the last thing into the air and managing a well-placed forceful into her head, not her, unconscious.
This one I like. She has a lot of fight and my soon-to-be queen. I've decided that instead of taking you to my home, I will stay here a bit longer. I will stay here and get to know you, if that is all right with you. Christian informed Mackenzie, as though she had a choice. Tend to your friend. Your real training will start soon. Be safe. Dawn is coming. He bowed to Mackenzie and turned to his driver. Kill, come. We must find somewhere to rest before the sun rises.
Minutes later, as the girls were still trying to recover from the shock of it all, the sun began creeping through the clouds, and when it touched the girl's skin, it caused a pain unlike anything they had ever felt before. Luckily for them, this was their city, and they knew their surroundings. Christian had left them at the end of a very dark alley, so they found the subway entrance and quickly darted underground, escaping the sun's violet rays. As they rubbed their burning skin, they looked at each other, and their circumstances began to sink in. We're vampires, creatures of the night. I'm sure it has come to some kind of advantage. You watched Twilight. What kind of perks did they get? Liv questioned, a snark clear in her voice. Yeah, they sparkled in the sun. It didn't burn their skin, you idiot. Mackenzie responded with equal snark. Of course, Edward was a total fox and didn't leave Bella to figure it out all by herself. Mackenzie giggled a bit as she tried to get a grip on everything. This is a fine mess you've gotten us into, Lilith, she added, folding her arms across her chest. How is this my fault? Explain this to me, please. I would love to know just how this is my fault. The confused Lilith responded in a harsh tone as she lay back onto the cold floor of the subway. You're the one who wanted pizza. We've been out all night. Turn into vampires. Our parents are going to kill us. Oh, and we'll be late for school, Mackenzie said with a sly laugh. There may be a benefit to this whole vampire thing. Lilith stood after a few moments, and she dusted herself off. She thought out loud, treats me like an outcast. I think I should learn all I can from him and steal the throne out from under him. I mean, we could rule with this. As the idea formed inside her mind, she slowly smiled before turning to Mackenzie. We can do it. Are you with me? Of course I'm with you, sister, Mackenzie agreed. Well, what about our families? Do we just leave them? She will give them the choice of joining us for eternity or dying like the rough cattle, Lilith answered with a sinister smile. Our parents are going to freak, but we both have to talk to them. Hopefully, for their sakes, they will become one of us. And to think, until now, we never even knew they were vampires. Mackenzie, still somewhat shocked by the entire thing, took a deep breath before saying, he wants me to be his queen. That's a little creepy, don't you think? I mean, he hasn't even asked me out yet. He did give you a mean hickey, though. Lil burst into laughter.
Mean hickey. That's a hickey, okay.
Yeah, that's a hickey, right? A big old bite. Uh-huh, that's a hickey. Okay, before going on to chapter two, we are having a note commercial break to give us a chance to get some water and relax a bit, and we'll be right back with the continuation of Ascension to the Blood Throne.
Yeah.
Wonder Twin Powers activate!
Those who knew the streets in Houston knew one thing for sure. The four brothers of the Kinsey Cartel were crazy as hell. The eldest two, Tramell and Tristan, a.k.a. Trey and Tripp, might have just been the craziest of all. Crossing any of them could end your life. No one messed with them until a pair of best friends, Shamar and Sin, came in and turned their world upside down. Shamar Parker, a quiet college girl, found herself given to Trey as collateral. Trey's captive would soon become his lover, and he vowed never to let her go. With an attitude the polar opposite of her best friend, Then Murray stormed into Tripp's life, demanding the return of her friend. In the process, she also stormed into his heart, and Tripp knew he had to lock her down. But the Kinseys' old habits died hard, and their lifestyle threatened to push the women they wanted most out of their lives. Can their love survive the streets? The Beauty of This Street Love, A Texas Tale, by L. Cason, now available on Amazon. Get your copy today. With the death of her vampire mate, Dominique Leroy, the hybrid vampire queen of New Orleans, must choose a new mate. Will it be the best friend, Asmodeus, the vampire who craves her power? Azazel, the human wizard with firepower? Or Jason, her were-leopard guardian? With her ties to the magical and shifter communities, she becomes a threat to the Vampire Blood Council. They give her an ultimatum. Turn the human wizard into a vampire or die a traitor's death. Will she choose love or loyalty? The Grand Dame of Bourbon Street by Mahogany Silverrain. Available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. Get your copy today.
And we are back. And in case you are just joining us right now, you're listening to the Mahogany Says Show with Mikkel and Mahogany. And we are reading from Mikkel's book, Ascension to the Black Throne. And we're going to spend a few more minutes reading into Chapter 2 before we pause for our question and the winner. Right, Mikkel?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
And I must say that your commercials are awesome.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad
you You do a great job. Yeah, you do a great job reading, too. So everybody out there that's listening is like, oh, my God, I just want to hear her read more.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but okay.
Long as Mikkel doesn't read, we're okay. Like, you know, I don't know. It's weird.
I never said that.
You sent it to me in a text message.
Did I really?
No. You don't remember? Okay.
Oh, no. You know I forget stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. After a long day of waiting out the sun in the subway, night finally fell, and they were free to walk the streets again. They arrived at Mackenzie's home first to find two angry parents. Mackenzie, Leanne, where on earth have you been? And you too, Lilith Michelle. We're calling your mother right now. Guys, before you do that, we need to talk to you, please, Mackenzie said, holding up her hands to stop them. Her father looked over and noticed the blood on her shirt.
Baby, what happened to you girls? Are you okay?
I'm okay, Dad. Well, for the most part, she explained, pulling back the collar of her shirt to expose the two bite marks on her neck. Her father ran to her aid as her mother dropped the phone in shock. Were you bitten too, Lilith? Mackenzie's mother asked. Yes, Lilith responded, showing her neck as well. Mackenzie's mother was visibly shaken. Go home to your mother right now. Keep your neck covered and go home. Her voice trembled unlike anything Lilith or Mackenzie had ever heard. Mom, what is it? Mackenzie's mother embraced her, and her father stood watching in stunned silence, unaware of exactly what was going on. Sweetheart, years ago, we escaped our small town in California. There were creatures we believed that only in our nightmares, but they exist. Vampires. No one knew where they had come from, but they came down our town like a plague. Nothing we had could kill them or harm them. They were completely unaffected by bullets. They just laughed at us as they slaughtered hundreds. All we could do was run, and even then, I was nearly bitten, but I was saved by a slayer. That one young woman stood against them, so powerful and strong that she turned many of them to dust and single-handedly caused them to run away. Your mother was with me, Lilith. She knows how lucky we were to escape those beasts. Go find your mother quickly. I can't believe this is happening again.
What's happening, Susan? Talk to me, her husband demanded, shaking her shoulder.
It's happening again. They're coming here to slaughter us all. Death is coming for us, she answered, but would say nothing more. Lilith covered her neck with a scarf and walked a couple of houses down to her own home. When her mother saw her neck, she knew exactly what was happening. She fell to her knees, crying. How does this happen? her mother asked. Lilith had never seen such weakness. Her mother was the strongest black woman she had ever known. She kept her athletic body by working out, or athletic build by working out 3 times a week without fail. Whether she was sick or not, she trained. She took excellent care of herself. Her long braids were always shiny, her skin was nearly flawless, and she had never looked her age. She'd never shown as much as a sliver of weakness. As both a mother and a nurse, she faced everything head on. Being a single mother had never been easy on her. Lilith had learned as a child never to ask about her father, whom she figured had abandoned them because of her. Even when Lilith built up her courage to ask for any information about him, the answers were very vague, as her mother always spaced out while speaking about him. "Mother, we were attacked by a vampire. He said something about being an elite, and he wanted Mackenzie to be his bride while I serve in the court. I'm not lying, Mom. I swear, it really happened." Lilith saw that the darker side of her transformation receded as the emotional reactions from both Mackenzie's mom and her own. Her mother, Alicia, took a deep breath and rose from her knees to slowly sink into a chair. She got her breathing under control and was able to explain what she knew. "I know, baby. I know it's real. When Susan and I were young, something similar happened. The vampires invaded our small California town, and if it wasn't for a young girl they called a slayer, or maybe it was a hunter, we would be dead, or worse, maybe even one of them. My parents and Susan's parents fled that town and came here, hoping it was just a bad dream. But now, 20 years later, it's happening again." "Mom, what's going on? Why is this happening to us?" Lilith inquired, her hands trembling. "I don't know. I didn't understand it either. I didn't understand it then either. All I know is that there was a place with a lot of bloodshed, deaths in the papers, and everyone just covered it up. All the missing people and unexplained deaths. Those creatures came and tried to destroy everything we held dear. They said it was a plague, but we knew it was something not natural." Lilith's anger grew as she listened, and her eyes turned slowly to nearly an amber red, and she asked, "Why didn't you tell us about this? Maybe we could have been prepared. Why did you keep this from us? Did they kill my father?" "No, sweetheart, they didn't kill your father. I promise one day you will know about him, but now it's just not the time." She spoke with such emotion that her entire body trembled. Lilith knew it had to be something to do with this, but she couldn't figure out what exactly caused her mother to be so upset. They sat in silence for a little while before Alicia walked calmly over to her daughter and asked, "How is the hunger, child?" "Getting bad, Mom." Lilith could feel herself weakening. "I will go to the hospital and get some blood for you. Do not give in and begin feeding. It will change you. Call Mackenzie. Have her and the parents here when I get back, please. This is very important. We must get a handle on this hunger before you lose your humanity." Lilith texted Mackenzie, asking her to come over, but there was no reply. So she called again, and no reply. She worried something was wrong, so she decided to walk the short distance back to Mackenzie's house. As she approached, she noticed the house looked dark and quiet, odd since she hadn't been gone that long. She walked up the steps and rang the doorbell several times, but no one answered. Now, really scared about what may have happened, she began knocking frantically. With the last hard knock, the latch gave, and the door creaked slowly open. As she moved into the utter darkness, she stepped into something wet. The room smelled of blood, driving Lilith's heightened senses crazy. And when she flipped on the light, she couldn't believe what she saw. The horrors of what was left of Mackenzie's parents were lying face down on the living room floor, both bitten. Lilith's shock didn't last long before the sight and smell of the blood triggered her animalistic tendencies. She tried to fight it, but she just wasn't strong enough. Without even realizing she moved, she was kneeling beside Kenzie's father, and the fight was lost. She sank her teeth into his neck and began to feed. And with that, we are stopping because we have a question to ask and a listener to win.
So, what's the number?
Let's see. There's an area code 424.
424. That one I'm not sure I know, so let's go for it.
Okay. So, go ahead and ask the question.
The question is, Miss 424 or Mr. 424, what story that is ancient, that is very well known, is mixed into this story.
Hmm.
You have to have known it from the end. You have to get to the end of the book to know it.
Okay, caller. You are on the air and you can answer the question. Caller with area 424. Are you there?
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, I'm just sitting there listening, like, wait, but 424 is me. Oh my goodness. Okay. I don't know, man. I'm just hanging out.
No.
Don't tell me.
Oh,
what you mean?
See, she's in there listening to our show.
Oh.
In the background, just work here. Leave you alone. Oh my
goodness. Is that
okay.
Me?
Why am
I don't know my own phone number. She does not know her own phone number, ladies
oh
and gentlemen.
Goodness.
She said, is that me?
I know. Man, this is the new age. We've got to feed that.
You didn't know either.
Wow. She was like, that's my number? Wait a minute. Wow. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's
go. It
needs
me gold.
Don't ask me nothing. I'm not prepared.
She is not ready. Okay.
All right.
So there is definitely. We love you. She said, I'm not prepared. I don't know. She don't
okay.
know her number. Ladies and gentlemen, we need help. We need help. Send help now.
Okay,
that's
so
my
the callers that are joining, if you would press number one if you know the answer to this question.
What story that is something that has been out for a long time is mixed into my story? It is an ancient story that everyone knows. So what story is mixed into my story?
Okay, if you know the answer, press number one. And if you have not called in, the number is 563-999-3523. Well, no one's... I don't think they know
the answer.
No one
knows the answer!
No,
oh, that is so
answer.
Cool. That is so cool.
What do you mean so cool? So how are we going to get a winner if nobody knows the answer?
Well, obviously, that means I get a tablet. I'm so happy. Okay, first of all, I would like... I'm in the ways of Ian. First of all, I'd like to thank myself.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to thank myself for being here and thank y'all for listening to me. Because that's me.
Oh, wait. Hang on. We got someone. Hang on.
Oh, no! Okay.
Yeah, okay. Area code 832. You
Uh-oh.
Are live.
Okay.
Hello.
So, is it Jesus?
Oh, Lord.
Jesus is the way,
no.
The truth, and the life. Is it Jesus?
Yes, he Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but not in this story. Wow. I have no words right now. Welcome, USA Today bestselling author Mariah Kingsley to the channel today. to the show. Look, listen. She took me all the way off. She threw me all the way
out.
She threw me all the way off with the answer. She said, I was like, bro. Like,
is it to kill a mockingbird?
No.
So?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, like if she doesn't, you know, if anyone has not read the book,
you ain't gonna
probably
get
won't
it.
Know that answer. So, can
they
you
will
give
not
them
know it.
A different question?
Man, that was a good question.
Oh, no, not everybody has
too
read the
good,
entire book.
We don't know the answer.
So, yeah, exactly. So
that means you ain't read the book.
Right.
You gotta read the book to know the answer.
Okay, what
like,
book are you talking about?
Ascension of the Blood Throne.
Oh, God.
Oh, I love y'all. Like, I love y'all. Like, for real.
Okay, what kind of creatures are in this book?
Are there
unicorns? If you know. Press number one to see the answer. What
are
kind of creatures are we talking about?
Hold on. Ooh, I need a vampire. She said vampire, ladies and gentlemen.
She got it, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my gosh, taste the rainbow. That's all I'm gonna say.
Does that mean I won the tablet?
Yes. Yay!
I'm going to let my co-host decide. If you won the tablet, I'm going to let her decide.
Well, she said vampires, and nobody else raised their hand, so, you know.
You win by default, Mariah. You win. You win. I will be PMing you to get your address and information and send it to you.
Yay!
Like, you know. I think you cheated a little bit by trying to say Jesus because he's everywhere. That's messed up. But
yeah, that's true. So,
I was like, come on, bro, really? Like,
Jesus is a main character in one of my books.
Jesus is awesome. I mean, you know, I'm a Christian. Look, you seen my music video? I talk about Jesus, like right there, bro. If you haven't seen it, go look it up.
He's funny in a hole in my book, though.
We ain't going there. Look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my crucifix and pretend like I ain't hear you. I'm not listening.
I'm just asking.
You think
somebody's going to ask you about that on Judgment Day?
I'm not involved. In the words of Cat Williams, I don't even know him for real. They've been doing this for years. This ain't even my thing for real. I saw it on MySpace.
You went back there.
I went back in the
You
day,
went
right?
back 15, 16 years ago.
And, excuse me, ma'am.
Yes.
What exactly is wrong with that?
Nothing at all. I'll send you the address to my tablet. I don't want bodies on it when I get it.
Thank you. I will definitely be sending it to you, ma'am. Thank you. Miss USA Today bestseller.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're
welcome.
And look out,
we appreciate you.
I might be turning one of my books into a movie. So,
because you all there to dance on.
That's
because
right.
you all didn't
dance
up. Go ahead and take your bow. You all didn't
dance
up.
That's right. Superstar. We got a superstar. Yes.
Y'all are so crazy. All right. I guess I'll hang up now since I want my tablet.
You know, messed up. You ain't even going to stay to the end. Like, you ain't even going to stay to the end.
Wow.
The end is the best part.
I'll stay to the end.
Okay.
We understand.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
We're going to take a short
break. We love her.
And we will be right back.
Yes.
Wonder Twin Powers activate.
As a Miami nightclub owner, Paolo DeLuca takes to heart the code, a life for a life. He also has a personal code, don't screw the help. However, it's getting more difficult for him to keep his eye off of his sexy bartender, Lyric Mason. He has no time for love, not with a rival gang muscling in on his counterfeit business. And when hell breaks loose, heads will roll. Lyric's grandfather warned her to stay away from the DeLucas. However, needing to pay for art school, Lyric does what she must do. But when she sees counterfeit bills filtering through the club, it brings her up close and personal with Paolo DeLuca. Time stands still, and Lyric is ready to throw away everything her grandfather warned her about DeLuca. Paolo DeLuca, part of the Savage Bloodline series by Tamika Brown. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
And we're back just in time. I hope you enjoyed the commercial, but I hope you enjoyed listening to the Mahogany Says show tonight as we read The Ascension of the Bloodstone by Michelle
yes.
Wilson. And congratulations
yes,
to
yes.
our winner, Mariah
Kingsley. Mariah.
Thank
She's
you.
Awesome.
You
and
are
the
so welcome.
Mallory. You're welcome.
You're welcome. See, we almost got that.
Yeah, we almost did it, you know.
Yeah, we really did. So thank you guys for listening tonight and listening to us cut up and act crazy. But where is it? The book funnel? And get the book for free.
Yeah.
Download it. And what else, Mikkel?
That's it. Sign
that's
up
it?
For the newsletter. Yeah.
And you can
oh,
get the book for free.
And check
yes.
out our RFCD.
That's right. Matter of fact,
I'm
going to leave you with that. Rise of the Dreads. Here we go. Have a great night, everyone. Blessings, peace, and love.
And soul.
War is coming. Six kingdoms struggle for control of the world while wrestling with their demons within. Alliances are formed and lovers betrayed while leaders plot and scheme. It is a world in which fear germinates like a seed in the ground. But seeds bear fruit. And when the fruit of fear bursts from the ground, everything will change. Six kingdoms. When it's done, only one will survive to tell the tale. Fractured Glory, part of the Rise of the Dread series on Amazon by Lauren Hart and Y.D. Lamar, the prequel to Rise of the Dread series. Get your copy on Amazon. Pre-orders are available today. Thank you for listening to the Mahogany Says Show with host Mahogany Silverain
and Mikkel Wilson
on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you and good night.